Now we take you back to the night of March 27th, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Once again, Brian Skywalker. You know, I really, Only in America was a much more inspiring song for what you're doing than Bend Me, Shape Me. And, but that brought a question to mind, and that is the following. When we originally talked about all of this, you were going to launch the big one first. I mean, you were just going to do a one-time, I'm going up 30 miles, baby. And, you know, the consideration of, well, can I get permission? Do I have to get permission? Do I have to talk to the military? Do I have to do this, do that, what, NASA, whatever? Will somebody come and try to stop me and all the rest of it? Then, you know, I understood the position you were taking was, hey, you know, if I don't have all the permissions, to hell with them. I'll do it and face consequences when I get back. You know, like guys who climb buildings and stuff like that. And I understand that. But now that you're planning three test launches of, of significant rockets, it's kind of a different kettle of tea now, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. And the thing is, it's like I don't want to be put in the category of someone that is going out and doing things that defies laws and stuff like that. I this isn't about that. And
well, I know, but I mean, now you might be forced. In other words, you might be confronted when you launch your first rocket and then prevented from doing it again or find yourself in violation of something or another. So,
well, I'll tell you, one of the things I'm going to do is face those things. I'm going to go out and get permission to do it. I mean, it's what it really boils down to it, there's specific reasons why there's laws, obviously, governing this type of activity, and mostly it's so that other people, innocent bystanders, are not put in harm's way, which is nothing that I want to do.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is I can get in my automobile and become a much greater menace to a much larger number of people than the rocket possibly could be. So
yeah.
If I had started at the very beginning of this project, if I had sat down and said, okay, before I begin anything, I'm going to go out and find out what legal hurdles I need to clear, it's a very good chance I never would have even started the project.
I agree with that.
So disheartened.
Sure.
And so, I've always had kind of a little tongue-in-cheek saying, it's a free planet. If I want to leave it, who has the right to stop me? And
I mean, maybe the CIA, the FBI, NASA.
NASA itself does not have any governing authority over me. It's the FAA is the
FAA
agency.
Local police, all kinds of agencies.
But, you know, that's another thing. I can understand if I all of a sudden just came out of nowhere and, you know, 2 days before my launch was going to do something like this, but that's one of the reasons I'm being so open and upfront about this, is because I'm not out to pose a threat. And of course, obviously, ever since September 11th, there's been some people saying, you know, well, do you think people are going to look at this as something that might be a threat or something? And no, that's one of the reasons.
Well, probably not. I mean, all they have to do is look into your history. I mean, you've been engaged in this now long before September 11th was a glimmer in Osama bin Laden's eye. So,
and the place where I plan on launching, wherever that may end up eventually being.
Now, there are laws against killing yourself.
Pardon me?
There are laws against killing yourself.
Well, that's true. But no, I live in Oregon.
Right. But you're not going to be launching in Oregon. You're going to be launching here in my state.
Yeah, well, let's see. There's some jurisdictional borders to worry about. But if I can get a doctor sign off that I'm terminal, then I could just say, well, this is my accepted means.
Then don't you think that, let's say when you get your rocket done and you put it on some kind of trailer and haul it down to Nevada, now, that's going to provoke right away there some interest as people see this giant rocket passing them on the highway, or as they pass it, more likely, I suppose. To be hauling a rocket down the road, how are you going to do that?
Well, right now, for instance, my test rocket is on a 16-foot trailer.
Okay.
And it looks, I mean, you know, it looks, it has a very, I don't want to use the word menacing, but I mean, it's a big, long, gray...
Well, see, that's my point. Yeah, see, people since 9/11, when they see this rocket going down the road, they're probably going to imagine all kinds of things.
Yeah, but not when it's being towed by a Mercedes SUV. I mean, that right there kind of sets the pace.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, there again, that's one of the reasons. I've had so much publicity, and I've had so much attention with this. I'm not real... That's something that I'm not real worried about. And, of course, when it comes time to launch it in that respect, there'll be quite a bit of hoopla, and it's not going to be just like me cruising down the highway with this rocket. There'll be quite an entourage of support vehicles. And
I remembered you said you were going to have Hooters girls.
Oh, that was...
that was before the Russian bride-to-be,
yeah,
right? Oh, by the way, has your Russian bride-to-be asked you anything about insurance?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, all right.
No.
So anyway, so no Hooters girls now? They're out?
No, I probably will forego that. You know, I mean, I wanted to have my little cheerleader.
There goes half my reason for coming.
Well, hey, if you can organize and still have them come along, that I won't stop them. I won't stop them. Let me put it that way.
I'm just kidding you. All right. Have you really taken time with your bride-to-be, and you've really sat down and... does she speak enough English to, or do you speak enough Russian so that you can have a serious heart-to-heart?
No, I tried learning Russian, but it's a very difficult language, and at my age, trying to learn a brand new language like that, the amount of time and energy and effort to put into it would be extremely difficult.
I don't know how you do it then. So she speaks little English, or?
She started studying English just about 1 year ago. Right after we met, she started English, and now... she's doing very, very well. And it's
so
actually
then,
funny.
I mean, you got to like sit down with her then, and I guess show her a picture of the rocket and point to yourself and go, me.
No, actually, when we started corresponding, it was through the emails, and she had software to translate.
Yeah.
And we actually had, for the first 6 months, our email communications was our major, obviously just about our only way of communicating, and was very, very easy to understand each other.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the first 2 times I went there, she could understand almost everything I said if I spoke slowly and if I searched for words and if I used my little electronic translator. But she could not formulate thoughts quick enough to respond immediately. And it was really kind of neat because every time we'd get together, we'd talk, or basically I'd talk. I'd get home that night, and she would have sat down and responded to me through the email, and it was really quite, it was very nice.
Now you live at the Rocket Ranch.
I live at the Rocket Ranch.
So-called, right?
The Rocket Compound.
Yeah, Rocket Compound, all right. So since you've got a wife and a child soon to be at the Rocket Compound, somehow... I don't picture your rocket compound as domestic.
Well,
really domestic.
It's not. I have to admit, I do not have what would be considered your typical domestic dwelling.
Right, right. That's
however,
probably going to have to change to some degree.
Well, the house, I have a very nice little log house. It's a very, very nice, cozy log home.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I have the two shops and the dome. And I'm basically going to turn the home over to her and let her do what she wants here, because I've got now my shops and my dome to occupy me.
Wise choice.
Yes, it's about time.
Mm-hmm. What about at 30 miles now? If you take a a 757 or 747 a trip to Europe, you get a pretty high end, I'm trying to remember now, but at about 38,000, 39,000 feet, they display the temperature for you, and it goes down to I've seen it at 60 below zero.
Oh, yeah, it gets, and when I was up in the MiG, for instance, it was, it was probably 100 degrees below.
100 below zero, okay, well, but up at 30 miles, what's the temperature liable to be?
Really, really cold.
Well, how really cold?
I probably in that minus 100 degree range. I mean,
100 below zero. Okay. Well, yeah, 100 below zero. So the question is obviously, how are you going to protect yourself from 100 degrees below zero? I mean, with the wind chill factor, my God.
Well, the capsule itself is a composite structure. It's a capsule. It's all composite carbon fiber, Kevlar epoxy with a. Kind of a ceramic type paint. I don't have to worry too much actually, I really don't have to worry about frictional heating because, there again, I'm not going to be traveling anywhere near orbital velocity.
Yeah.
However, the duration of the flight is so short that the cumulative effect of both frictional heating or exterior temperature will not have long enough time. For instance, some of the questions I've had, like, you know, like, am I worried about possibly the parachute freezing into a solid block? And it's like, well, no, because first of all, I won't be up long enough to, in those conditions. And then secondly, the heat that comes off the, there's eight little rocket motors in the nose of the capsule every 45 degrees pointing
right.
out. And they're controlled by a pretty simple gyroscopic system that just, and what happens is, instead of firing them individually each time the rocket begins to tip, there's a little lag time in the time that the gyroscope would sense the movement and send the signal to it. And then, of course, there can be a not real consistently perfect pulse of that rocket motor. So I'm going to actually run those rockets the entire duration. They'll be running equally, and then I will moderate them slightly whenever the rocket begins to tip.
So,
and the heat coming off those will keep the complete interior of the rocket itself more than warm.
Oh, okay.
And of course, my spacesuit also provides me a great deal of protection from the external.
All right, now here's something else.
Mm-hmm.
The United States through NORAD and the Russians and the Chinese and everybody monitors serious rocket launches. I mean, we've got satellites, they've got satellites, everybody's got satellites. They know when something serious is launching. And wouldn't that be another reason why it might be undesirable to have, without notification, something rising off the Nevada desert to the 30-mile...
Oh, well, that's why I'm saying there will be... I mean, this is going to be, like I said, a televised event. It's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be a mystery. It's not going to just happen. This is not going to be like the guy in the lounge chair with the helium balloons in L.A.
Actually, that was pretty cool. Did you hear that tape that I played?
Oh, of the hole in the ground?
Oh, no. Oh. No. I had a tape of...
Oh, the pilot.
Of the lounge chair guy.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
No, I'm not sure if I heard the lounge chair guy or the pilot of the airplane that's
flying. Oh, no. I've got the lounge chair guy. I've got the real tape. In fact, if at my network, you guys, now that I'm thinking about it, would please dig that up. I'll play it in the next couple of nights. It's unbelievable.
No, I don't think
you can hear him describing what it's like in the lounge chair. He's got a radio with him, you know?
Right.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You see, to me, that to me is so much... That to me is a lot more dangerous than what I'm doing. See, people get real freaked out about
this. Well, he had a parachute.
Yeah, but still, you have a parachute. I mean, he was exposed to the elements at 16,000 feet.
Oh, yeah.
He was drifting in an area where, I mean, there again, see, that's the kind of thing that I'm not in favor of doing, because he was in an area where he could have caused an accident. I mean, let's say the two jets.
He didn't notify, but on the other hand, I mean, who are you going to call and say, look,
well, that,
you know,
not,
I'm launching myself in a lawn chair, and nobody would ever take you seriously. But
no.
But you, on the other hand, you've had enough pre-publicity, and what you're doing is obviously very serious, and so...
Yeah, and getting back to your question about, you know, whether or not that, at this altitude, and because of the low heat signature and everything else, this would not really be picked up as a threat from any, you know, just like the model rockets people launched, like we were talking about earlier, they have some of those rockets doing the 100,000-foot distance themselves as well, and... That there again, if this was something done in the cover of night without any notification or anything, then I'd be absolutely inviting trouble from, you know, a variety of areas.
Military, but for sure.
This is something that is, you know, I don't have any desire to be in that category.
Have you been contacted by any official agency?
No.
Even with all the publicity, nobody's come forward. Why I said only in America. You know, that really is true about our country. Only in America could you do something like this.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things. I'm out, you know, ever since September 11th, one of the things that has kind of kept me going on in this is like, dadgummit, I'm not going to let them steal my dream. I'm not going to let them quench what the American spirit is. And there's been too many people that have sent me emails saying, don't, you know, don't
Don't throw in the towel.
Don't throw in the towel. This is important. This is what people need to see. I mean, I literally have had emails that have moved me to tears. I had a one-line email that said, "Dear Rocket Guy, I just wanted to let you know that your project has brought one father and son closer together." And I have no idea if that was the father, if that was the son. I've had people tell me that they were on the verge of giving up when they'd heard about how many times I failed. Because, you know, between the ages of 20 and 35, I went off to do my, I built a two-man submarine in Fiji, and my goal was to put these in resorts where people would rent them and, you know, cruise around underwater to see everything. And I went out. And
pretty good idea, actually.
It was a really neat idea. I was just a little before my time and not well-funded enough to make it a real effort. But there were six times where I was so, you know, I had to start from scratch. I had to move back into my folks' house and start all over again from scratch. And the last time, that was 10 years ago, I was 35 years old. And, you know, when you fail that big and you've got to literally begin all over again, it becomes very disheartening. And yet the kind of response I've had from people that have drawn some inspiration and some strength or whatever from what my experiences have been, it's become a very important key element to this whole thing.
Well, you're probably going to have your choice of media to be there. Now, aside from myself, and I've made you promise that, aside from myself, what major TV media, for example, what shows would you like to have come and cover this incredible endeavor?
Well, you know, I went through this whole thing. I've had so much interest. I've had documentary filmmakers, people want to do this and that, and I've talked with a number of major production companies in Hollywood that wanted to acquire the rights to do a television launch. And
now, anything like Good Morning America and the Today Show, that kind of thing?
I've done those shows already.
No. I mean,
as far as covering the actual launch.
Yes.
I could do it either one or two different ways. One way is to have an exclusive deal and do a televised network launch coverage.
Well, for God's sakes, if you do that, have a radio clause in there for me, eh?
Well, you know, there'll be two different areas there. But to tell you the truth, I kind of got to a point where I just started pulling away from making any decisions like that, because right now I am totally autonomous. This is my project. I don't solicit funds from individuals.
Yeah, but it may be, let's face it, that a major network would offer you big dollars to do it. And after all, dollars are dollars, and that's development money. That's rocket money.
That's it. I just don't want to right now be put under the additional pressure of someone saying, you got to go.
That's more security for the Russian wife.
Well, yeah, but it's just, I enjoy the fact that right now that I call the shots in this and no one else has anything over above me. I am interested in a couple of corporate sponsors.
Okay, so in other words, ultimately you will make a deal. You just don't want to think about it right now.
Yeah, and I did. Last year I went through a whole period where I was in the process of actually negotiating a deal. But what it boiled down to, there wasn't enough money up front in it for me to basically sell myself under the bondage of someone else saying, look, we've scheduled this for such and such date, and, you know.
And in view of what you're doing, actually, upfront money would be very important.
Yeah, but there again, it's like I'm pretty well funded right now for what I'm doing, and if I'm going to put myself in a situation where someone else is going to be trying to push me and get me move faster.
Yeah, you're a real independent. All right, hold on. We're at the top of the hour, and when we get back, we will open up the phone lines. We will. If you have a question for Brian Skywalker, Rocket Guy. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from March 27th, 2002.